Good morning. I feel like y'all are just waiting for me to get my self together up here. Welcome to worship. We're going to get started this morning with a song that just declares that God is Lord over all. It's called "The God of Brilliant Lights" by Aaron Shusk. So I just, if you know it, sing along. But if you don't, I just invite you to use this time. Let the words and the music just lift your hearts and prepare your hearts and minds for worship.
Shouting loud, cover all the earth, let the sound of the saints everywhere be heard. Praise the God who has come to cure every broken heart. He is Lord over all, his reign will never end. Through the fire and the flood, he draws his children. He's the light of the world, brighter than the brightest star, yeah. The God of brilliant lights is shining down over us, breaking through the darkness, covering all the earth. Oh, 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 his love is like an ocean.
As we gather this day, your worship folder has much in the way of the life and ministry of Aldersgate Church. I want to share that we have, as of last count, 262 adults in our 40 days of prayer studies. Do you know how many average worship attendance congregations that makes up in a lot of parts of this conference? 262 adults. Melanie Fellner, director of children's ministry, tells me there's at least 70 children, 70 different children, being impacted by the 40 days of prayer curriculum, from Sunday morning Sunday school through the Adventure Club and Summit Seekers Sunday afternoons. And we have easily 50 youth involved in Sunday morning and then Sunday evening. So that's a significant number of people, all on the same page. In addition to those that are in worship here, maybe you haven't been able to plug into a small group, a faith growth group this cycle. But what a powerful season of all of us being tuned in the same way to communicate with God. That's a praise, and it's something in my probably final 4 or 5 months here, I want to see if I can prime your pump a little more to be a people that intentionally lift up the thanksgivings of God that He has so apparent for us. If we don't thank God for God's movement, I'm convinced we grieve the Holy Spirit, and we die on the vine. So let's be a people that see God at work and name it and celebrate it, and that opens our hearts up to be ever more connected in what God's up to. As we gather this day, I just want to share with you one of many disturbing fruits of the division and hatred and words that are being used in our culture, society, and among leaders these days. Last Sunday at a church outside Waynesboro, United Methodist Church, as parishioners left, they found on their car flyers from the Ku Klux Klan, local Ku Klux Klan, demeaning and debasing that United Methodist Church for acknowledging the social justice efforts of Martin Luther King Jr. So parishioners, after worshiping God, went out and found these flyers there. The boldness of division and racial strife and hatred increases, and it will continue to increase until the people of Christ, who are told in Scripture, in Christ there is no longer slave or free, male or female, Gentile or Jew, but we're made in God's image, until we speak up. And you need to be aware of that, that's moving not just in that community, it's present in our communities as well. So that's heavy on my heart this day, and invite you to be aware of that and to be sensitive to how words indeed shape us. You know, I was a kid, was always told sticks and stones can break your bones, but words will never hurt. What a fallacy. Words form, and they lead to actions of hatred and strife, which is contrary to what Jesus came to do to us. So gathering in the power of the cross and in the resurrection hope of Jesus to bridge our divides, primarily our divide with the Father and then our divide with one another, I invite you to rise as able as we worship our God in song. I know.
work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good.
Sing that one more time.
You make all things work together for my good.
Amen. Let's go to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just lift up your name this morning, and we thank you for the way that you write scripture in our hearts through the songs that we sing. Father, the words we just finished singing are from Romans 8:28. You make all things work together for our good. Father, we thank you this morning that you have a plan for each and every one of us. And regardless of what we see in front of us and what we can't see, we know that you have us in the palm of your hand and you're working to make all things come together for our good. So, Father, we just claim that this morning as we continue to worship, as we continue to seek your face and understand your will in our lives, Father. We thank you for that promise, for the way that you just constantly comfort our hearts and tell us that we are yours. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon.
Offer for the ministries of Christ here and beyond in the connection that it is the church, God's tithes and our offerings.
I am yours forever. You are my strength, God of grace and power. And everything you hold in your hand, still you make time for me. I can't understand. Praise you, God of earth and sky. How beautiful is your unfailing love, and you never change, God, you remain the Holy One, and my unfailing love, you are my rock, the one I hold on to. You are my song, and God, I sing for you. And everything you hold in your hand, still you make time for me. I can't understand. Praise you, God of earth and sky. How beautiful is your unfailing love. Change, God, you remain the Holy One, and my unfailing love, praise you, God of earth and sky, how beautiful is your unfailing love, and you never change, God, you remain the Holy One, and my unfailing love, unfailing love. feeling love,
unfailing love,
unfailing love.
Our call to growth today as we begin our proclamation is five dimensions of prayer, the intimacy dimensions of prayer that God presents for us. And this is a brief introduction to the deeper teaching on the prayer points today that will come after our gathered prayer time together. I would invite you, in preparation for a closing movement in this opening segment, to pull out the hymnal, the red United Methodist hymnal, and to turn to page 854, 854 in the hymnal. We will close this segment with praying together a portion of Psalm 139 together. Again, that's on page 854 if you want to be prepared for that. We are in week three of the 40 days of prayer, and this week we're focusing on praying in five dimensions. Why? Because God is a multidimensional God. The more we understand God, the more fulfilling our prayers and our prayer life will be. God is so vast, all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful. He is in all places. It's beyond our understanding. Remember that great passage we had last week from Isaiah 55? Your thoughts are not my thoughts, O God. Your ways are not my ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so God's thoughts and ways are higher than mine. We can't grasp the fullness of God. And because we can't grasp the fullness, it's important for us to consider God's many dimensions, because that keeps us from having our prayer life reduced just to our little wish list or our controlling mechanisms of God. Remember that image of the lion, the scarecrow, and the tin man standing before the curtain with the Wizard of Oz? And behind the curtain, Oz is working all the contraptions and everything, and the great and powerful Oz and all this stuff going on, intimidating and keeping them at a distance. And little Toto, remember Toto in that image? What's he do with the curtain? He grabs the curtain and pulls it back. I oftentimes think of the Holy Spirit does that. Pulls back the curtain and says, you can't know the vastness of God's majesty, but I want to introduce you to the personal God who comes in the form of Jesus. Amen. But that's just one part of God, the incarnational part of God who poured himself out into human flesh to walk among us. We have a God, unlike any other faith, religion in the history of the world, our God comes close in the human form to experience everything that we've experienced in the fullness of the human condition. But this also is the God of creation, that in the beginning, God decided and God created out of what is God's core. We talked about that last week. Goodness. God created out of his goodness. And now he's present with us, moving in the Holy Spirit. Because God is multidimensional, we can all join together in proclaiming, I am never alone. Would you join with me in reading the promise from Hebrews 13:5? Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Let's do that again in unison. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Have you gone through seasons or times in your life where you feel absolutely, utterly isolated and alone? There are the times where the body, as the church, is called to come alongside us and say to us, you might not feel it, but God has not abandoned you. Amen. You might feel alone, but the Lord is with you. Would you all again look at that image on the screen and join me in this great truth, boldly? Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Psalm 139. We have a God who is the Creator. He is the all-powerful, omnipotent, all-knowing, ever-present one who birthed this creation. He's come to us in the form of Jesus incarnationally to walk with us and talk with us and show us what perfect love in the Father looks like. And he's present in the Holy Spirit to fulfill the promise given to the psalmist. Let's pray this responsively, verses 1 through 12. The ancient word, ever true. I'll pray the light print and invite you to pray the dark print. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You search out my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. You pursue me behind and before. Remember that translation, the Hebrew translation last week from the 23rd Psalm? Surely goodness and first mercy shall follow me. The Hebrew scholars say we translate that wrong. The true Hebrew text means, surely goodness and mercy will pursue me. Amen. A father after us, not to hunt us down, but to bring us home. You pursue me behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Where shall I go from your spirit? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, the depths, you are there. If I say, let only darkness cover me, and the light about me be night. God the Creator, God the Son who walked with us, and God the Holy Spirit who never lets us alone. In a few moments, we'll look at those five dimensions of prayer, but right now I ask you to ponder God's constant presence in your life and mine. He never will leave and never forsake. It is in that promise that we're alive in the Holy Spirit and we can face the days that God gifts us with. We're invited to use the blue prayer cards at this time and to bring joys, concerns, intercessions, requests before. And I'll turn it back to Dan and ask him to share what the names that are lifted up in the prayer shawls and prayer blankets this morning. Dan?
Three prayer blankets at the kneeler, so we invite you to come pray over those. One is for Pastor and Kathy Wilson upon the passing of Kathy's mother. The second is for Tim and Melanie Feldner upon the passing of Melanie's grandmother, and the third is for Barry and Jamie Barkley and Carter and Ava upon the passing of Jamie's grandmother. Let's go to God in prayer.
But I never
miracles in mind. My hope will always stand, 'cause you hold me in your hand. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for these 40 days that you've placed upon us as a yoke, not to burden us, but to harness us and to use us for your glory and your purpose, to form us in this time, to increase the depth of our communication with you, our reliance upon you, to grow in our understanding of who you are at your core. You're a good, good Father. That's who you are. And we are loved by you. That's who we are. So as we move through this time, Lord, we lift up your world and the division and strife that continues to sort of eke in like a water bursting through a dam meant to keep a community safe, and it's finding a way in and contaminating us. Lord, we pray for the boldness that Christ had in speaking justice, loving mercy, and walking in humility with you, his Father. Grant that to us and help our hearts to hurt for what your heart breaks for. Take us captive in these 40 days, Lord, that we might discover anew the freedom that you give us when we are yoked with Jesus, individually and as your body. We thank you for the array of ministries here that are making a difference in the practical everyday living of so many lives. Keep us focused on our mission to reach with your heart for the lives made in your image in this community and beyond, to make disciples for Jesus. When we focus our energy on doing things that are contrary to that mission, Lord, stop us and save us from doing things just to do them. And fulfill your purpose in us. I pray, Lord, a special anointing and blessing and wisdom of your Holy Spirit to be with Bishop Park and the cabinet of superintendents and for our staff parish relations committee that has met with the superintendent and conveyed the strengths, the weaknesses of this congregation and of the pastoral appointment and what is needed in the next phase of the journey you have for us. Lord, let your will carry the way and help us to be a people that trust that you are forever our good, good Father and that your word written is trustworthy and true. You will not forsake us. You will not leave us. But you indeed will pour resurrection into us that we might be a people who spread the gospel this week and all the days of our living. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So here we grow, church, five dimensions that will stretch and grow your prayer life. If you have your prayer journals, if you're in small groups, you're invited to take some notes if anything strikes you. We are putting these PowerPoints that are Rick Warren generated, and then Pastor Troy, hopefully some Holy Spirit added to and made more unique to our context and presentation here. We're putting them on the website. You can access them, and you can access the weekly preaching and teaching there as well. Five dimensions of prayer. I was going to ask the praise team to do a song from the fifth dimension. Remember that group? I don't know that I recall any of their songs. Oh, okay. No wonder I don't recall their songs. It's not a Fleetwood Mac genre, right?
Aquarius.
Just doesn't do it for me, but the five dimensions of prayer might do it for all of us. Number one, when I pray, I will look back to the cross. Dimension one. Think about dimensions. Point us in different directions. A multidimensional drawing. Those of you that are good in drawings and artist work, I can only do the one-dimension stick figure. I can maybe do a bit of a cube three-dimension if I work extra hard or copy someone else's work, but I can't do it on my own. But we can do this on our own. We can determine in our prayer life with God that we're going to go to Him always looking back to the cross. Church, you've heard me say this before. I'd love to pastor one Sunday morning and have an electric chair hanging at the front of the sanctuary. You've heard me say this before, right? When I was growing up in the late 60s, they talked about old Sparky, the Pennsylvania electric chair. And it was an intimidating thing to an 8-year-old boy looking at that. They were talking about the death penalty should they move to, you know, firing squad or injection. And they showed this big oak chair with these metal leather straps and then all these metal connections and then this metal helmet that went over top. And I thought, oh my, I never want to do anything wrong, that wrong, to get in that chair. It was an instrument of capital punishment. The state putting people to death. That's what the cross was. You realize that? As ugly as that electric chair was to me as an 8-year-old boy, the cross was just that ugly, if not far more ugly, to the people of the Roman Empire and beyond. Many people, when public crucifixions would occur, they would turn their heads as they went by to not take in the gore and the pain and the horrendous sight of a slow, torturous death. Looking back to the cross, why? Because when you talk to your good, good Father, you and I need to know who we're talking to. Will you join me? 1 Peter chapter 1 together. God paid a ransom, together? God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life. He paid for you with precious lifeblood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. When we look back to the cross, we're talking to a Father who's paid it all.
He's put himself in our place. He's taken on the capital punishment, the worst that the human condition could throw. And he's transformed that cross into a sign of victory. Amen. That's why I want to put an electric chair up here, to remind us that if Jesus would have lived in a day of electrical power, he maybe would have been terminated on an electric chair. How many of you have cross jewelry on today? Anyone? If that were the case, there was electric in the Roman Empire, you know what you'd have hanging around your neck, Judy? Seriously. An electric chair. That would be our symbol of victory. Am I making a connection with that? It would be the symbol of victory. If we would beam, here I go with my old-time Star Trek, Scotty, beam a citizen of the Roman Empire in Jesus' day here and come into our worship center and say, this is where we worship God, and they saw that, can you imagine? We can't imagine how aghast they would be. It'd be bigger aghast than an 8-year-old looking at old Sparky. When you pray to God, begin by looking back to the cross. And what wells up in response to that? Anyone? When you see what God has paid, what's your response? Okay, I'm willing to wait. What's your response when you look what God did for you? Forgiveness, gratitude, thanksgiving. Do we need just to stop there and let that point sink in and we'll go home? What was I talking about early on? If one of the things that drives me crazy as a pastor is going to a church meeting and the complaints always have centipede legs. I'm always amazed how one person can complain about something and before you know it, it's translated at the meeting table. Well, people are saying one becomes many. Over the years, I've gotten wise enough to say, who are the people? Well, I can't say. Well, we need to be honest with each other and you have to trust. I'm not going to go beat them up, but has one become many, a centipede of convenience? And at those same meetings, when I say, is there anything to celebrate or give God thanks for what he's up to? It's like I gotta be milking a walnut sometimes. I've never tried milking a walnut, but that sounds pretty difficult. Look back to the cross. And we can't help but have our spirits formed into an attitude of gratitude. When we pray, dimension 2, I will look upward. First, I look back to the cross. Then I look upward to my Father's loving face. What kind of Father do we have, church? A good, good Father at his core. Romans 8, will you join me? You should not act like cowering, fearful slaves, since God's Spirit has adopted you as children into God's family. Instead, by His Spirit, we simply cry out, Abba, Father, and God's Spirit affirms that we really are His children. Because the way you see God will control and determine what is happening in your life more than any other thing. It'll be the center of what your response is in every circumstance. Can you call God Father? When I went to seminary in the early 90s, there was a great debate about can we any longer call God Father because it was exclusive to women. And anyone that saw my daughter last week knows that I'm a dad who proudly raised a strong, independent woman to know that she can do everything a man can do. She's made in God's holy image. But that doesn't threaten me and keep me from calling God Father. I'm not turning God into a, a, a human projection of an old man, but that's what Jesus called God, his Father. So we can do that too. Even and especially if you've had a bad relationship with a father, you didn't have one. You and I have a perfect parent that we can call Father. And yes, our Heavenly Father has female attributes, taking us to his breast, weeping with us. Attributes we call female that are truly God image. What you call God sets the tone for your prayer and could put a lid or not on that relationship. If there's a lid on that relationship, there's only so far you can grow upwards with it. You'll keep hitting that lid. You look back to the cross and then you look up to the Father. God wants my prayers to be Abba Daddy, personal, Dada. Now, I don't go to God in prayer. I don't know that I've ever gone to God in prayer and said, Daddy, Dada. If that works for you, by all means, do it. But that's what he is, Dada. I think about every grandchild I've had when they're at those age, when they're finally walking around and they want you, they want hell, they want safety, they want comfort, they're in anguish. Papa, Papa. Dada. God wants our prayers to be personal, not to be perfunctory and distant. He wants us to cry out and be passionate. When a child cries out to a dada, it's impassioned. It's now. Dada, now. And by his Spirit, he wants it to be a partnership. God does not come to take us captive prisoners and force us in a way of life. He comes to take us captive in his fatherly love that we might be free to be different. Romans 8:26, a great passage. Will you read it with me? Also, the Holy Spirit helps us with our weakness. We often do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself speaks to God for us, even begs God on our behalf with deep groanings and feelings that words cannot express. Romans 8:26. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for I don't know how to pray as I should. The Spirit intercedes for me. The Spirit roots for me. The Spirit helps me when I can't put it into words. Have you ever been in a situation of joy or sorrow and there are no words? Last night as I was going over the message again, the Holy Spirit brought to mind one of my colleagues I was ordained with, Mark Brower. Mark Brower is a gentle spirit, a big man, but a very gentle spirit. And Mark and I sort of connected along the way, and I remember Donna and the kids and I made a trip up to Williamsport District and went over to the area beyond Mansfield where Mark was pastoring and visited with them in their home. Yeah, I didn't want to sidetrack that with my name, but yeah, they lived in Troy, outside of Troy. But they had just had a little baby. They already had one girl and had a little baby. And we got to see her. And I'll never forget about 6 months later, I received a phone call from another friend and said, Troy, did you hear the news about Mark's baby? And I said, Mark Brower? Yeah, no. She was being babysat by a member of his congregation. And
the baby was crying and she couldn't stand it, so she took a pillow and tried to quiet the baby and smothered the child. And she died. And I'm like, oh my goodness. What words are there? I remember going to the funeral service up in McVeightown, Mark's home area. I remember standing in a long line and just seeing this big daddy, tears streaming. I remember walking up to him thinking, what do I say? And as I got there, I couldn't say anything. His eyes and mine met. And I just went like this. And Mark did the same thing to me. And we hugged. The Spirit intercedes. With groanings and feelings that words can't express. At annual conference each year, one of the first people I look for, if not the very first, is I'm looking for Mark. He's healed in significant ways, but he continues to grieve. And he pastors in a church. Can you believe that? A parishioner killed his daughter, and he moves on and pastors in the church of Jesus because the Spirit intercedes. 2 Corinthians, will you read together with me? Test yourselves to make sure you are solid in the faith. Don't drift along taking everything for granted. Give yourselves regular checkups. You need firsthand evidence, not mere hearsay, that Jesus Christ is in you. Test it out. If you fail the test, do something about it. If you cannot look back to the cross and have an attitude of gratitude, church, do something about it. Demand from one another that you practice the celebrations of God's Spirit, or you will grieve the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you. Test yourselves. You need a spiritual checkup. The Spirit wants to check your heart and mind. Proverbs 28, if you try to hide your sins, you will never succeed, but if you humbly confess and reject them, you receive God's mercy. Do you know the word intimacy? Intimacy, you know, deep personal connection, actually also can be spelled into me, see. Into me, see, Lord. Into me, see, and I know that you see it all, and I grow more deeply connected with you. All three are in one, the multi-dimensions of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All come to abide in us. Jesus talks about that in John. The Father is in me, I'm in you. As the Father's in me, he's in you, I'm in you. Abide, abide, all that abide stuff. It's real. The intimacy with God is why Jesus came. To put flesh on it, to put a face on it, so we know that we're not alone. God is present to do a good work. Even in the midst of the most hellish situations of life, whether it's the cross or whether it was from my friend and dear brother in Christ, Mark, and his wife and family. God gives me freedom and courage to face my faults, to face the brokenness of the world, and to get better. Remember last week, he takes the bitter of life, and if we choose to put it in his goodness of Christ, he will make it better. There is no change that comes without trusting God, and there is no trusting God without the truth that we need spiritual checkups, and God is with us. So I have a little doctor here for us. You don't need to be on a special insurance plan. You are provided the care by the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit
love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. There's no law against this stuff. You'd think there is, wouldn't you? Do you think it's a fair statement to say if you are in Christ and marked in the Holy Spirit, some of this fruit should be evident in you and it should be evident in me? Is that a fair statement? So if we hold up, if we had a giant transparency cutout of me, maybe we can do this, Melanie, with the kids. Lay down on a big transparent piece of red see-through paper representing the Holy Spirit, and we write love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control on there and put it up to me and say, hey, here I am, church, children. Be brutally honest. Do you see any of this in me? Imperfect as I am, do you see any of this? I'm willing to do that. I'd be willing to do that with all of you. You want to take me up on it? You can tell me where I'm lacking, but will you tell me if I show a little bit of that too? When we don't see fruits of the Spirit through the persons that are presenting to us as in line with God, you don't have to sniff too much. It's that Antichrist prophetic stuff we get warned about in Scripture. So we look back, we look up, and we look within. When I pray, I also will look around and ask the Holy Spirit. I won't even ask the Spirit, I'll just say, exclamation point, together, use me. I think there's an Old Testament thing like that. Here am I, Lord. Look back, look up, look in, look around, use me. You see, the Christian faith doesn't stop when we've received Christ. It just begins the journey. Romans 6, together, give yourself completely to God, every part of you, since you've been given a new life and you want to be used as a tool in the hands of God, used for His good purpose. Again, a reminder, the Jesus lens. It is not wrong to see the Father through the lens of Christ. Jesus came because seeing the Father through the law didn't work. Seeing the Father through the prophets didn't work. Seeing the law through human leaders and kings did not work because it didn't change a heart. Seeing the Father through the goodness of the lens of Jesus is something we shouldn't apologize for. Then I found this on Hope Fellowship of Spokane, Washington's website. Fruit of the Spirit, we should be known by the fruit. There we go, that transparency placed on me. I'd love it if you called me, said, you know, Troy, you're a fairly fruity pastor. Help me to grow in that fruit, will you, church? As I'm to help you grow. 1 John, I'm going to read this. Just listen to the beautiful teaching. My dear children, you come from God and belong to God, for the Spirit in you is far stronger than anything in this world. These people belong to the Christ-denying world. They talk the world's language. And what does social media, I'm sorry, what does the world do? It eats it up. But we come from God and belong to God. Anyone who knows God understands us and listens. The person who has nothing to do with God will, of course, not listen to us. This is another test for telling the spirit of truth from the spirit of deception. That's the word of the Lord, not mine. Test the Spirit and don't be hoodwinked into a way that hides behind professing the love of God. Look back, look up, look in, look out, and finally, the fifth dimension of prayer. Look forward to your future in faith. I am confident of this, that God who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Jesus, until our final breath. He ain't finished with us. Amen. Ain't for effect. So make your prayers multidimensional. Look back to the cross and discover a greater attitude of gratitude. Look up to the Father's face and cry out impassioned. Look inward to Jesus living in you and the Holy Spirit. Into me see that you might grow more intimately with the Father. Look around and say to the Holy Spirit and the world, as we're called to be kingdom bearers and builders, use me. God put the world square with himself, church, through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. God has given us the task of telling everyone what he's up to. We're Christ's representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences. John Wesley said, "Where's your heart? If it's in Christ, give me your hand." The modern culture says, align with the differences and never be one. Drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking of Christ for Christ himself now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. How, you ask? In Christ, God put the wrong on him who never did anything wrong, so we could be put right with God. As the praise team comes forward, church, consider praying in the dimensions, looking back to the cross, up to Abba the Father, inward to Jesus, into me see, outward for the Holy Spirit, use me, and then for a future of faith until Christ comes again or until he receives our breath home. Glory be to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the cross ever before us. Amen and amen. I invite you to rise as able.
Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Sing it with me. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Oh, blessed be your name. On holy mocked in suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Let's sing that. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name.